So, Lord, we abide in you this morning, and we just take a moment here to come before you and just renew our focus on you, God, and just recognize that indeed, as we just sung, the war is over. That war is our sin against your righteousness. That's over. You have clothed us through Jesus with your righteousness, and we are now at peace with you. And so we spend this time with you this morning at peace with you. You are well pleased with us. And we invite you to come and speak this morning. And we choose to believe that you want to say something to us this morning and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are going to be finishing up the series on discipleship, but as we all know, it's going to continue to be our calling to disciple. So if you're visiting this morning, I'm confident that God has something for you, regardless of whether you've been here through this series. This morning is about intentionality. I'll talk more about that in a minute. First, let's go back in time, and some of you further than others, back in time to your school days. Okay? And we just had our 20-year reunion for myself. So I'm starting to get up there, but not as much as others. So there's always somebody older than you on earth, right? Usually. Okay, so think back to school and think about teachers, okay? Context is teachers that you've had through your grade school years, elementary school through high school. Teachers of influence in your life. You know, what names come up, what name comes up, as, man, this person just really invested in me and had a lasting impact where I remember their name, I remember the class, I remember some of the things that they said to me. Can anybody think of somebody? Does somebody come to mind? How many of you would say that? Okay, there's about half the hands, a little more than half the hands. For me, it was Mr. Fishman, okay? Mr. Fishman, the only teacher in the 12 years of schooling that I remember his first name. His name is David Fishman. And I've actually spent long hours trying to find him and see if maybe he's on Facebook. Is he still alive? I would love to just be able to connect with him and tell him the influence he had on my life. But what brought him to mind and to talk about him this morning is my dad gave me a bag of all my old stuff, you know, kind of memorabilia stuff here a week or two ago. And it had, you know, my Minnesota Vikings coat. And I had this fixation with the Minnesota Vikings for some reason when I was a kid. So had my Vikings hat, had my signed shirt, and had all this stuff in it. But it also had, Mr. Fishman's class was unique because he had the cool mullet hairdo, which was cool back then. And he rode a motorcycle to school, so he had those things going for him. But more than that, he connected us together as a community, our class. And he formed us together and said, hey, I got an idea. Let's go out and practice at recess softball, and let's challenge the other fifth grade class. And we need a name. Let's come up with a name so we have an identity. And he commissioned us as students to vote on names. And then he got the silk screen machine and he had us make t-shirts. And this ratty old dirty t-shirt was my t-shirt. Can you read what it says? The Brain Busters. Which I don't know if that meant, but there's an F on the brain there. So it's like, you know, a failure brain. We're killing the failure brain. We're not just. And then we had a cabbage. Do you remember the, what were they called? Yeah, but what were the Garbage Pail Kids? Yeah, it was like the take on that, and they were all these gross ones. This one, see, his brain's blown up. Anyways, I remember Mr. Fishman. And then a really cool thing, when we finished that year, He moved up to sixth grade to teach sixth grade so he could stay with all of us. So we got him for 2 years. I remember moving on to junior high, and I lived in the same neighborhood all growing up through till I was 18. So there were kids that I went from first grade all the way through and graduated with. Mr. Fishman came after we moved on to junior high and we were going to graduate into high school. He came to our junior high graduation and spoke. And during that, it was really hard junior high years because I think it was in seventh grade that we lost one of our, I lost one of my close friends. He was hit by a car. And we were a close group. And a lot of that closeness that we had was from what Mr. Fishman had established with us. So he came and spoke to us and encouraged us and spoke into that hurt that we had from losing Garrick, our friend. And just an incredible man. I don't even know if he was a believer, if he was operating with the Holy Spirit guiding him to be so influential or not. But what it brings up in me is realizing how incredible a human being is. Any human being, believer or not. We are made in the image of God. David calls this out. Okay, God knit us together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We're wonderful. Okay, that's not a prideful thing. That's just worshiping God to recognize that. Because we recognize that he made us. So thinking about that in what we've been talking about with wanting to have a lasting impact, we've got the rocks over there to remind us through this series that now we want our lives to last beyond our days here on this earth and have an impact. You can have an impact even without walking with God, right? There are people with an impact, you know, people of influence in your life who aren't believers. Now, when you take a creation of God and you put his Spirit in it, now it's times 100 the impact, capabilities, potential. And that's why Jesus is so adamant about telling us that we can bear much fruit, fruit that will last. Because he sees us and he agrees with David, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he knows that he's placed his Spirit in us. So, what I want to talk about this morning a little bit, and then what I really feel strongly like God wants is for each of us this morning to have some time with him to identify something intentional in our lives that he wants us to step into in regards to discipleship, investing. Let me just say up front, when I speak of discipleship this morning, to kind of take the intimidation out of that word, and a lot of us just kind of disassociate ourselves, or disciple, does that mean I'm like Peter or Paul? Or disciple really means investing in somebody's life in such a way that they can follow Christ at a deeper level. Okay, so it's encouraging and investing in people so that they can find that abundant life in God. So that's what I'm talking about if I use that word. So life is going to be just as impactful as it is intentional. You can apply that to anything in your life, anything that you're doing. You've seen that before. You've done things kind of halfway, and you've been intentional on things, and look at the fruit that comes out of that. What we want to do this morning is just prayerfully let God come in and take a look at our lives and where we find ourselves right now. And see what he has to say about how it can be more intentional. Before we do that, I want to kind of stir up some thoughts about people who live intentionally. We're not going to go there yet. So one person that I could just use as an example, and kind of several different aspects of her life, is my wife, Star. Because she is one of the top disciplers I know. Meaning, it's just how she lives. She disciples people. Which means what I just said, she invests in people in such a way that they want to follow God at a deeper level. They see her connection with God. They understand through how she shows and explains a relationship with God, that they want to go deeper. She did this with her siblings when she was a kid. She was intentional with them. Her youngest brother was about 7 years younger than her. And she identified his love language, which was special time. And she invested in special time. He had just this desire to look up to his oldest sister. And she recognized that. Well, if he went into her room, the posters in her room were posters that said determination and all these different encouraging words that just reminders to her of how she wanted to live her life. And he looked up to that, and he said, I want to be like my big sister. She basically lived as somebody that he wanted to be like. With her other brother, Sky, a lot of you know Sky, he was leading junior high youth here for a while. He was about 5 years younger than Star. And when he went into the same intentionality as with Josiah, when he went into junior high, you know, all the girls were after Sky. It just, you know, he's a handsome guy, and even more, he loved the Lord just as much back then as he does now. And everybody, you know, was after him, all the girls. So Star had to sit down with her brother and said, look, here's how this is going to work. She'd already been through junior high. You know, the girls are going to be after you. I would encourage you, before you step foot in that school for the first day of school, that you decide how you're going to live your life. Now, before you're in the storm. And Skye took her seriously. And he made a commitment. You know what? I'll be friends, but I'm not going to let that be a distraction to me of the course that God has for my life in that season of my life. And he made that commitment, and he had to tell girls that. And she said they were calling all the time, almost to the point of begging him to be their boyfriend. And he told them, no, I've made a promise to God, and I made a commitment to him. So that was an influence that Star had on her brother. Her sister was just a couple years younger than her. And through youth group, Star was a couple years ahead. She was on the youth leadership, and she helped develop programs and things that were going to encourage her sister as well as the other kids. They also had a mutual friend that she was telling me about yesterday, that mutual friend, she encouraged and kind of brought her sister alongside and said, let's invest in this person. She really needs somebody to come beside her, encourage her. Come with me, we'll do it together. And her sister was like, yeah, I feel like I can do that. And so she helped show discipling to her sister through that. Those are just little tidbits of how she lived in that way. When she went to Albania with her family, when she was like 19, she was a basketball player. And she got on the city basketball team. Women's basketball is really big in Albania. And it's almost like, it's like a betting thing, you know. That's, you go to the game and it's all men filling the stadium. And they're all betting on these teams. It's kind of like, that's kind of weird. But she was the first American to play professional basketball in Albania. Pretty cool, huh? You can get her autograph. She'll be here next service. I think it's pretty cool. She was in the paper. She's kind of a celebrity there. She'd walk around. People would be like, Star. Anyways, on that team, she was afraid to speak out and learn Albanian. She just was nervous to make mistakes. And the team kept pestering her. One day in the locker room, she thought, you know what? I'm afraid to speak, but I know some worship songs in Albanian. So she was afraid to speak out, but she wasn't afraid to sing a worship song to her team. And that's Star. And so she sang As the Deer, because she knew that one. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. So they're hearing these words, and they're just awestruck. Not only does she have a beautiful voice, but she's speaking these words of life. She's singing these words of life. She started up a Bible study with another friend of hers and invited her team. One of the gals on her team got grounded, was an Orthodox Christian, but got grounded in a relationship with God through what she did. Later on, she came back to Washington. I met her. We got married. We wound up moving to Albania. I remember just one instance where one of our neighbors we befriended was a single mom. She had a little baby, and she needed just some temporary work for a little while before she got, I don't know if she was going to get another job. So we we invited her to come in and for a little bit of money, help us with some housekeeping and stuff, just how can we create some work for her. And Star didn't just go that far. She thought, you know, she's going to be coming into my home every day. And she's open. She was a new believer. And she thought, hey, why don't I invite her to just sit down and let's spend 10 minutes in the Word together each morning. And so she invited her into that, just the intentionality of Star, and through that helped her walk into a deeper relationship. It's recognizing the opportunities that were already there. She's going to have this gal come over. And I think it's really valuable to look at, you know, some of those stories were Star as a missionary. It's really valuable to look at the intentionality of a missionary, because they feel like, I'm called to go to this place. God called me there. There are resources going into me being in that place for a reason. So everything I do, if I go to the store and order something, I'm going to be intentional. If I meet somebody on the street, there's going to be intentionality because I'm here to share God with these people. And that's, you know, like Keith Green said, if you're not called to go, you're called to stay. All of us are called to disciple. And if we lived with that same intentionality, if we just imagined, okay, tomorrow I'm going to move to Oregon, and then I'm going to listen to God, and he's going to say, move to Duval, or Monroe, or Woodinville, wherever you are. Move there, and I want you to reach the people for me. That's your mission field. What would change in your life? What things would you bring more intentionality to in your life, in your interactions with people, and the relationships that you have? Another aspect of this is there's this intentionality, but remember what I said about human beings are wonderfully made, incredible. And then God puts a spirit in them. In Luke, Jesus gives this commission to his disciples to go and make, you're going to share me with the nations, he says. But wait in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And so they went and worshiped. Let's read it together. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. They were waiting for this to be clothed. It's really interesting, and it might kind of disrupt your theology a little bit, and I don't claim to know how it all works, is earlier on in Luke, he breathes on the disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. So in the case of Luke, reading the account of Jesus interacting with disciples, he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. And then before he ascends, he says, wait in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Which makes me think those who he breathed on, they weren't receiving the Holy Spirit when they were clothed on high. They already had it. But there's a power that comes. There's a greater power. So I'll only go this far with that theology for now. If we believe that we receive the Holy Spirit when we come to the Lord, I do. I think that's pretty clear in Scripture. We receive the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit if you've given your life to Christ. Do you feel like the fullness of power of the Holy Spirit is being released in your life right now? Do you think that the impact of your life is at that full measure? Of being clothed, like Jesus said, being clothed with power from on high. I think there's more. And some of it comes in asking for more. Some of it comes in aligning ourselves with what the Spirit wants to do. So that's a critical aspect to this, our life being an impact. I just heard this last week from my father-in-law. More missionary stories. Star's dad is in Albania, her mom and dad, live there right now. And they are one of the giftings And the focuses that God has given them is praying for people for healing, spiritual healing, physical healing, and teaching others how to do that. And so they traveled to a city up in the north recently and put on a workshop of just teaching about, you know, operating the gifts of the Spirit and seeing that power, that power come through them. And there are some believers up there who started to do just that. And in one of these, one of these towns, there was a family that was being plagued. I don't know what exactly it was, evil spirits or something. I mean, even the people in the town would say, yeah, they'll run through the street screaming like something's chasing them. They were plagued by something. Well, one of these people who had, one of these leaders who went to this workshop prayed for that family. And they were completely free from that. It stopped. And some others were healed. Well, some of these people, physically healed, some of these people, one of them, it was kind of cool, on a bus he'd had a rib injury and could actually feel the ribs clicking back together. As this man just rode on the bus with him, it's like, you look like you're in pain, can I pray for you? This other Albanian man who had learned that that's available, you can pray for people. So some of these, one of these instances of one of these miraculous healings, they went to the local, there was a local mission of believers who'd been reaching this city for a long time, for a couple of years, doing wonderful things, acts of mercy, sharing the gospel there, but they hadn't moved into praying for such things. But the people went to them and said, you've had this power all these years? Why hadn't you prayed for us? I mean, these are the people coming to the Lord because they've been touched by the power of God and His Spirit. I only share that story to illustrate how the impact of our lives, that radius of impact of our lives, is so great when we lean into the Holy Spirit and the power that we've been given. It's not in our own strength. It's depending on, like Star's dad, it's depending on God showing up and moving in power. And then God also uses us in our relationships. It's not all that. It's not all just these miraculous works of the Holy Spirit. He incorporates us into the story. But that is an important element that we have to recognize. We can't just look at what Jesus has called us to. Remember a few weeks back when I put the ladder up for my son, I said, you can dunk the basketball, and he got all stressed, and I said, no, look, I'm going to put a ladder here. And that's Jesus' call to us. If we just head out of here with a bunch of head knowledge and say, all right, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to disciple, but we don't recognize what Jesus told even his disciples. Yeah, you're going to reach the nations, but wait in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So, I've been, as I've walked through this series, and I've been, you know, walking through this series for a month or two before we started the series, just in preparation for it, I've noticed some changes in me, and I've noticed some intentionality that I brought. And I'm sharing all this by way of example for you so that as you walk in your life, you might start to see, oh, wait a minute, I think there's some opportunities here. There was a guy that, through one of my kids' activities, I got to know just being at a sporting event. And the guy really opened up to me. He just seemed really, he was going through a really hard time, a divorce, and really open to share where he was at and to hear the things that I felt like I was supposed to speak into him. Well, that activity ended, that sporting event ended, and as I moved into this series, I thought, you know, that's a totally open door. He would be so open to me just calling him and saying, hey, let's go have a coffee or go to lunch. And so I just prayed about that, and God said, yeah, that's just a simple one step. That's what I'm hoping that we can walk out of here with today, a simple one step. I'm going to call this person. So I called him. We went out to lunch, had an incredible conversation about life, about God, and I keep bumping into him in the city, and he's just ready for more. So that's one thing that changed. My kids, you know, being more intentional with Daniel and Micah, my two little ones, 8 and 6 years old. When you have multiple kids, I don't know if you guys experienced this, those of you who have had even 2, 3, 4 kids, the first kid is like this, they're made of glass, right? Everywhere you lay them down, you have to have a changing pad under them, and their binky has to have a little strap so it doesn't fall on the ground and get dirty. And then you get into your third and your fourth, and you're wiping the binky on your pants and sticking it back in their mouth. You're laying them on the hood of your car to change their diaper, or worse, in the bottom of your minivan in a bed of fishy crackers and junk that's on the floor, and they're eating those while you're... You change, and it's not so much a bad thing, but you start to realize they're not so fragile. You still love them just as much. But what I noticed was my intentionality with my first two was just so much of my focus was I want to invest in these incredible beings that are gonna change the world as they grow up. And then the busyness and the, well, you know, we're just doing life now. We got all these kids and so much going. Through this series, I thought, you know what, I want to bring that same intentionality that I had with Bear and Lydia to Daniel and Micah. And one of the areas that they're both very interested in is they're always out in the woods building traps and stuff like that. And then we just started up Trail Life, this ministry here at Adventure, which is scouting and learning knots and doing all that stuff together with learning about God and how you find God through that, through nature and through character development and all that. So it was awesome. Told them about it. They were really excited about it. So it's just one step, you know, every other Monday night hanging out here with them. And then we're practicing our knots and they're tying me up and everything at home. You know, just little changes. Just Star and I stepping into intentionality with what about the impact of our lives together in discipling as a couple. And in the last month or so, we've made a commitment to just having people over more for a meal, maybe after church on a Sunday, and kind of making a commitment to, you know, at least once or twice a month, we want to have somebody over on a Sunday, just as a gauge for us. And those have been incredible times when we've had people over. Just being more intentional with that, because time can just go by and you're just busy and you're not connecting. And something happens in those times. We're blessed, we're encouraged, and we're able to also encourage others through that. Just little changes that I've seen in my life over the last month or two. And so, before we go into some time with God, also, you know, ministries and programs. I want to talk a little bit about that. There are ministries, programs, things that can help with discipleship. Discipleship happens all around. I mean, just think through some of the stories I just shared about Star in her life. It was with her brothers. It was with people that she was playing sports with. It was with a neighbor. Those are all just situational, relational things in your life. Programs, like what I just mentioned with Trail Life, for example, provide opportunities as well. There's levels of discipleship where we're one of the 20 people discipling somebody, right? So those people who are teaching downstairs right now, Sunday school, they're one of the steps in the discipleship of those kids. Youth leaders, Trail Life leaders, Heritage Girls, which is the girls' version of Trail Life. Those leaders are discipling along with the parents of those kids, along with others who are influencing and speaking into their life. It's true for adults too. So there's that level of discipleship. Men's and women's is an opportunity to be discipled, but also to sit around a table and be used by God to invest in other people and spur them on in their walk with God, or to invite somebody who maybe is just coming to the Lord or that you've been talking with. You know, maybe that guy I talked about reaching out to, having a place to invite them in to where there's that conversation about God at a deeper level. So that's why we do programs, really. It's providing for that level of discipleship where people can take that next step. And the other reason why we do programs is providing for us to have a place to step in and bear fruit. Because there are tangible ways that you can get involved in discipling. When I go to Trail Life, I walk away because I'm one of the leaders there too, but even just as a dad, if you go there, everyone, all the adults are encouraged to invest in those kids. I walk away from there going, I got an opportunity to invest and disciple 8 to 10 boys that evening. When you teach in a Sunday school or help in a Sunday school class, you walk away from here on Sunday morning and go, wow, I didn't just come to a service. I was part of the Great Commission that Jesus gave, and I discipled. Or a youth leader, men's and women's, getting involved in those things. And then it can go outside of church, too. You know, like YMCA, there's different programs where you have opportunity to invest in people's lives and make a difference and follow the Lord and his voice in how to do that. But then there's another level of walking one-on-one with somebody in discipling. And that's discipling too. That's investing. And that's fruitful. And that's in a closer circle of people around you where God's given you influence to go deeper. That might be a parent with his child. That might be one of your friends. That might be somebody you work with that you see regularly. And you're going to go to another level of investing in them. Others are discipling at this level with them. But they're on your radar as I'm all in with this person. I'm committed to seeing them find that abundant life with God. So what you got to understand is I just, with all that I just threw at you, think about pruning. Pruning is cutting back from what is there so that what is left might be more fruitful. When you think about the Lord, he describes himself as this master gardener, and he comes in and prunes us that we would bear even more fruit than we already have. If you don't think through that deeply, it feels like, even with everything I just said, it's how much more can I add to what I'm doing to make myself fruitful? And that's not how pruning works at all. If you know anything about gardening, you don't add to a plant to prune it. You cut it way back. And it looks pretty barren when you get done pruning it. This is really, really good news. The path to fruitfulness might just be cutting back. So you can even see the fruitfulness in your life, or so that you can have room for that new growth to come out. There may be something that the Lord wants to direct you to cut back this morning so that you can be more fruitful. That's what pruning is. So I want to kind of walk with you guys and myself as well. And I got a pen up here, so as God speaks to me, some steps too. Through just a time of asking some questions. If you don't have paper and a pen, you're going to want it. Just raise your hand and they're passing those out so that you can just maybe jot some things down if you feel like you're hearing something from God. And a couple things before we listen. That verse that came up in the little song clip in the beginning, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They listen to my voice. And I know them and they follow me. I don't know what goes on for you when it comes time to have a time like this of listening. If it's like, here we go again. This is going to be 10 minutes of me listening to dial tone and walking out of here with nothing. There's a lot of different things that are going on with that. But what I would dare you to do this morning is to approach God with the idea that he wants to speak to you. He wants to surface something this morning. That speaking his voice can come with an idea that comes to you or a name that comes to you. Or a verse or a situation and a response from you of how to move forward with an action step. That's the kind of listening we're doing this morning. Write down what you feel like you're hearing. It's a hindrance to hear something. Let me just suggest if, for example, you feel like you're hearing God say, I love you. Okay, as you just start out listening, you feel like, wow, I feel like God's just reminding me and telling me that he loves me. A good response to that would be, thank you, Lord. Not, I wonder if that was me. I wonder if I'm hearing God right now. That's kind of, you know, how do I know if that's my own thought or not? Just, thank you, Lord. Childlike faith. And accept that. Okay? That's scriptural. God loves you. It's very scriptural. Okay? It's not going to hurt you to write that down and say, I feel like I heard God say he loves me. As you step out in faith in that, what happens is the enemy's voice gets quieter, which is telling you, you can't hear, that's you. You're just thinking about other stuff. It's coming from the side. That's not God. He doesn't want to speak to you. It starts to fade away when you just say, thank you, God, and you write it down. Okay? Just a suggestion. So let's start with just, you know, however you want to pray, if you close your eyes, if you keep them open, stand, sit, kneel. Just get comfortable with God. And I'm going to walk through some truths because I think it's important for us to be reminded of and fresh in the truth of our standing with God so that there is no place for the accuser to come in and tell us, you don't have any right to listen to God. You don't have any right to be directed by him. So let's declare some of that truth. So Lord, we just come before you this morning because the time comes to act upon what we know. There comes a time where the knowledge and the information is only that, unless we act upon it. And we know that you're not just calling us to be busier. You might be calling us to be less busy in things that aren't fruitful. And we invite your pruning this morning. But God, first of all, we want to remember our place in you, Lord. So we just declare, and you can declare this in your own heart to God and embrace it. But Lord, I am not under the law anymore. I do not have to appease you with sacrifices. I do not have to pay penance for my sins. I am completely forgiven through Jesus Christ and clean in your sight. And that is the truth. I'm at rest in my position before you this morning in the work of your redemption. I can exhale and relax in your presence right now. You receive me. I'm your child, and you're not an angry father. I'm your child, and you're not an angry father. I can expect you to speak with me. You seek not to punish me, but to bless me as a good father. Lord, your pruning and discipline and training in my life are not punishment. They're not punishment for my sins. That's been taken care of. No, your pruning, discipline, and training are maturing me that I would experience the abundant spiritual life that you want for me. You're bringing life through your training and discipline. They're not punishment. You have given me your spirit. So just acknowledge in your heart that you have the Spirit of God in you right now. He lives in me, and he is right here, right now, to speak to me. He's not far off. He's not up in heaven, and you're trying to hear his voice from the clouds. The Holy Spirit's right in you. So don't listen for a voice far off. And where you guide, you provide. Just like with your disciples. You've guided all of us to raise up followers of Christ, to invest in people that they would find a relationship with Jesus. And so you've given your spirit to empower us to bear fruit. Thank you, God, for these truths. This is the truth of my situation right now this morning. I am not excluded, but I am included in your family. I'm not excluded by a sin I committed this morning or yesterday or one that might happen this afternoon. I am included in your kingdom, secure in that. So now let's approach God with confidence with some questions. So first question, I don't have these up on the screen. I'm just going to try to keep them pretty simple or repeat them several times. But first of all, just prayerfully think about recently in your life some people that come to mind that have just kind of been on your heart. God's brought them up to you. You've stopped and prayed for them maybe, or there's just, you felt like there's something, some kind of connection or desire there to bless that person or to invest in them in some way. Just think through, is there anybody right now in your life? This is not somebody necessarily that you're thinking of an everyday investment and it's going to be really deep. Maybe just somebody that you feel like you're just supposed to take one step of blessing them and encouraging them in their relationship with God. So write down a name or the names that come to you as you listen and just give a little time for that. So, Lord, we want to be intentional. So we just bring, is there one of these people that there's a specific step to take? Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's having coffee with them and just hearing how they're doing, letting the Lord take it from there. Maybe it's something else. What's one step that we can take towards fruit in that relationship, towards investment? Would you speak, Lord? Bring something to mind. Okay, so now think about your established relationships. Think about that inner circle that I talked about of people who God's put in your life as a greater influence that he's put in your realm. Be your kids, friends, or he's given opportunity for that relationship to start. You know, maybe it's, you know, another dad on a sports team, or another mom, or just think through that. And write down, Lord, I just pray you'd bring to our mind those people who you've put in our influence and who you've already prepared in our lives. They're already there, and with intentionality there could be fruit. And just remind us of those, and just write down some of those names right now, people who are closer in your life. So, Lord, we bring these names before you. Is there one of these names that stands out that you want to give an intentional step to move into? We don't need to know that step yet, Lord. Just, is there one of these names I should circle right now? That's surfacing. Speak to us, Lord. Guide us. Okay, Lord, so we just take that name before you, or names if you got more than one. And Lord, what's one intentional step that you would have me do? This isn't, I just acknowledge right now, this isn't me just thinking through what might be impactful or a blessing to them in encouraging them either in their walk that they have with you or towards finding you. This is you speaking now, and I'm going to believe in faith that what I get right now is from you and act upon it accordingly. So would you give me a step that I can take that's tangible, that I can do towards investing in that relationship at a deeper level for you? Okay. So thank you, Lord, for speaking. And you may have more that you want to speak into this for us. And we want to bring this back to you. If we didn't get a specific step, it might be something that you want us to stop doing. It might be something that you want us to do to cut back so that there's room to invest. Lead us, Lord, in that. And then just also, some of you might be feeling like, gosh, I feel like I want to be invested in and discipled. Like I'm not at that season right now where I'm feeling like I'm supposed to be just going after and discipling, but I want to be discipled. I want to be founded and grounded in my faith. And so, Lord, would you just direct those people who are in that place? Would you speak a name to them of somebody they could ask to walk with them? Just bring up a name right now. Somebody that they could ask. It's risky, Lord. I pray that you would give them boldness. And they would trust you with that. That they could ask somebody to invest in them, disciple them. And if you feel like you're one of those people, you might want to spend some more time on it, but you're not getting a name. You can let me know. And we have people who would love to walk with you. And so just maybe jot that note down right now. Remind yourself you can fill out a card, a connection card from your bulletin. You can put it in the basket at the end, and I'll get a hold of you and help you get connected with somebody. But just jot that down. We'll keep praying here. Lastly, I just want to say there may be somebody in here this morning through all of this and through this time with God is recognizing that they haven't given their life to you, Lord. And so to that person this morning, I would say today's the day for new life. The grace of God is so incredible. You'll spend the rest of your life trying to understand it. But it will change you. And so I want to invite you, if you are convicted right now, that's the Spirit in you convicting you. That's God calling you. Jesus said that he opened up the minds of his disciples that they could understand the word. And God's opening up your heart right now and your mind that you can comprehend your need for him. And so if you want to pray with me right now, you can give your life to the Lord and come under that relationship with him, come under that covering. If you recognize that you need him to come and forgive your sins and make you right with God. So you can just, you can pray this to the Lord. God, I recognize that in my life I have sinned multiple times. And because you are so good and righteous, not because you're angry and mean, but because you're so good and righteous, you require that those who have relationship with you are righteous. And so I recognize right now that I cannot accomplish that in my flesh. I cannot live sinless without your power and without your covering. But if I come under Jesus and his death, which paid for my sins, because death is the payment, if I come under him, I am righteous. And so I come under Jesus Christ right now. I receive you, Jesus, and your full payment, your completed work on the cross for my sins. And I'm now righteous in your sight, God. Help me to grasp and understand all of that, but I believe in faith. Like a child, I come to you and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, God, for making a way. And now I give leadership of my life over to you and make you my Lord. I am now a follower of Jesus Christ. And so lead me forward in my life. So if you just prayed that with your heart, you are now in God's family. And all those truths that I stated before, that you are loved and righteous, those are all true of you now. And if you prayed that, would you just come see me after the service? I'd love to talk with you and help you understand, maybe at a deeper level, and that relationship that you now have with God. So thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you for what you've spoken. And we want to have a couple worship songs at the end here to kind of bask in that time with God and what God's spoken to us. So you can go ahead and come up, worship team.